Welcome to the Wallach Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I'm still kind of riding on a little bit of a high from the end of the show, because what happens is we finish the show and literally, like, within less than 5 minutes, we start the Aftercast. And we had just finished our last break. So if you've heard the podcast already, you may have heard the metal singer Dan Vask doing different songs. And that was just a gift from Betty. Like, he did amazing.
Wasn't from me. I pulled the audio, but that was from Brett.
Yeah, Brett, who's a potty.
Yeah, he is a potty on our Facebook potty group. And you can join too when you text potty, P-O-D-D-I-E, to 91979. We'll send you the link so you can join the group and see what all's going on behind the scenes.
That's the thing. We have here's the hierarchy. We have listeners to the radio. They're one level. But then, and we're going deeper, like better. Like, then you've got podcast people. Then you've got aftercast people. And then you've got potty group people. Like, it gets more and more inside the inner circle.
I think if you've joined a face group page for something, yeah, you've reached the pinnacle of,
you're in
of a group.
Yeah. So we'd love to have you in that as well. But yeah, thank you for sending that. It was absolutely amazing. It brought me to tears. It was so good.
And we only played Amazing Grace, but I was his version of Amazing, yeah, Grace. But Dan has a lot of songs that he's done. I pulled hooks from two songs that I knew you would know. Just so you can get
I appreciate you doing this. Let's do this.
Taste.
Let's start with a fun one from a movie, and then we'll go with America. Because you always want to end on America, in my opinion. So this is from the movie Mulan. You would not think that Mulan had a metal song in it.
But you would be mistaken.
You would be very wrong. I went low because I knew he was amazing.
Let him preach.
Normally, I would go on the high, but he is much better than I am. And so I went low to help him out there.
I'm glad you realized
that. Oh, if I could ever do a duet with him, that'd be fantastic.
This guy's got like the long like hair. Yeah. He's got like the whole look going.
This guy is who I wanted to be.
I've tried to grow
my hair back out. I just can't. It doesn't happen. It's thin.
It's thinned out.
It's sad, actually, when it grows out.
But he also did a version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes, he did. And I think you'll agree with me at the end of this. You will be like, why is this not the opening for every NASCAR race?
Need to listen to the very, very
yes,
end.
Okay, so here you go. 38 seconds of joy. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, Dan. It wins.
Fireworks.
Hands on hearts. Hats off.
Rev the engine.
Tears slowly coming down the cheek.
Screech, and then a flyby with an eagle. So good. If you're not doing that in an America flag tank top, I don't even want to see you.
Man,
that is amazing.
Back up, Terry.
That was so good. That's so good.
Well, thank you, Brett.
Brett, thank you. Lady Rock, thank you for pulling all of that audio and making that happen here. Here we go. Here's some things we didn't get to on the show today. Like, our dog owner's dumb.
Yes,
like, they must be.
Is this based on a story, or are you? Is this just me? Like, am I the?
No,
topic?
Are you internalizing?
No. I feel like I've been called dumb.
No,
for being a dog owner.
Oh, no. This is a story, but it has no correlation to the amount of money you spent on your dogs at the vet, which is lunacy. Which I wasn't going to bring up because I didn't want to hurt you.
Yeah, no.
Because I know, like, I've been to the vet, and they're like, "Well, it's going to cost X amount of dollars," and you're like, "No. It's not going to cost me that because I'm not doing that."
I can't say that, though.
Yeah. Now, Haley's, you can't say it, or your wife can't say it?
No. Well, neither of us can say it. Yeah. I will do it. I will hand that check over or the card.
Yeah.
But
Not
the pain is real. Okay, but what are dumb dog people doing?
Article, and it said, you know, and it made me think, well, the dog owners must be stupid if this is an article on a dog website. It said the 8 household items you need to keep away from your dog. So I went, okay, that makes sense. Let's look at what this is. Human food. You know, you're like, don't feed your dog human food. Okay, it's not good for him. Okay, chocolate. That's one of the big ones. They say don't feed your
dog. They said human food, and then chocolate was another item
in there. Yeah, exactly. Don't give your dogs cleaning products.
Okay.
Plants, you know, some plants can make them sick and they throw up. Pharmaceuticals, keep your medicine locked up. That's my point. Metal, like coins, don't let your dogs eat pennies. Insecticide, I keep that where my dog can get to it. Fertilizer, I've got tons of that laying around, and don't let your dogs eat it. I mean, you might be tempted to eat it, but don't let your dogs eat it. And chemicals like antifreeze,
you think someone got paid to write this?
Yes, that's my point. Is that they must think that dog owners are the dumbest people on the planet. Basically, it's all common sense. Anything you don't want your child to eat, you don't let your dog eat.
Or yourself to
or
eat.
Or your cat eat. Or you. Yeah, right. It's like,
I don't go eat my plants.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen my cat, Buford Beans. He has tried to eat something, and I'm like, drop it, because I'm not paying the vet bill.
No,
Like, it's either you eat it and you die, or you go to the vet and you
die. That's right.
Because I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the difference in cats and dogs, too. Like, when you have an animal that kind of tolerates you,
you don't fight for their life.
You don't. You're not going to take a bullet.
They're not going to be smart.
No one has ever taken a bullet for a cat.
And maybe that's the reason why dog owners spend more on their dogs, is because they do have more of a people personality.
Right.
They have human characteristics.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas cats can.
Well, cats, they do have human characteristics, but they're of serial killers.
Right.
You know, that's true. Sociopaths.
But most of them come to you when they want to come to you.
Yeah.
They don't come to you. Like, dogs look forward to coming home. Whereas my cat's like, he looks forward to his food.
Yeah. Never doubt my dog's love and appreciation for me. I've never had a cat that I was like, man, I can just tell that Pippi or Blue just loves me. And they think I'm a cushion more than anything.
Now, I can tell that Buford trusts me because when any kind of like stranger comes in, he doesn't like that person. Mm. Like, he's gets scared. And so when it's either me or my roommate, though, he acts like he's... Yeah. Not scared at all.
I mean, I love cats, but like,
I do too.
There's a different quality, a different criteria for cats, and vet bills are just crazy. And I think, I mean, honestly, like, vets will argue, well, we go to a lot of schooling more than doctors. Okay, fine. But then you're also working on something that doesn't have the same price tag on it as life, but for some people it is, but as human life. And medical costs are way out of control for humans. And so I guess they just get right on that train. Okay. And there's that point at which it's like, well, do you really not love your dog $800 worth? You know? And you're like, well, I do. You know, they make you feel guilty. Like, I had one cat, my cat was 15 years old, and they're like, yeah, it's got cancer, and it's going to be these treatments, and it'll be about $2,000 and then probably about $800 a month. Well, and I'm like, this cat cost me $29 15 years ago. I've got my money's worth.
I thought it was interesting, though, because when I looked at this little chart, and it was, you know, your dog in human years, like, this is how old they are.
Right.
We're looking at Ellie's like 51 or 56, Jasper's like 20, he's going to be 28 later this year or next year. So it's like, if you had like a 15-year-old cat, or like if I had a 13-year-old dog who's pushing 100 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at what point do you have a human being, like, in whatever state of life they're in, where you're looking at it and being like, man, I just hope they can keep lasting a lot longer. Once they're 105 years old? No.
Like, when I get to, like, being in my 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever it is, if, like, I wouldn't want my wife to, like, deplete all of our savings on me. I wouldn't. I mean, I'm like... I want to leave a legacy, and I leave financial security to her, to my daughter. Like, I would not want to spend all of our money on me at 80 because I don't have that many good years left.
I think everyone is different. Everyone has a different bracket on what is
worth it,
worth it and what isn't.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was very nine of you. But still wanted, you were like, I'll kill my cat.
Well, yeah, but that's me. That's my truth.
Watch out, Buford.
I love my Buford.
Okay, you don't want to rack up too many bills.
You've taken Buford to the vet a few times in the last year, I think, right?
Yeah, I think I've taken him twice.
Yeah. And so, what did it cost you each time?
Maybe $64.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Gavin, what do you even give him? Like
they give him like a little, like a, last time I went, they gave him like a little eye drops because he has like allergies or something. And then,
oh, poor baby.
Yeah. Now Gilly, when I took her, they had to give her some fluids and some kind of medication. And that came to like $110.
Yeah. But see, I'm in that range. I did spend the almost $700 on Sasha when she, cause she's still healthy. Like she's still in good, and this is where you're at with your dogs. They're still healthy.
Yeah.
It's not like they're like terminal or whatever. And Sasha, even though she's 14, she still gets around, does everything, but she was making these weird mouth sounds when she would eat and then she stopped not eating. And so it turned out like her teeth were really bad. And so we had him go in and pull some teeth, a lot of teeth, and get her all set up.
Bless her.
But like that's the last $700 that's going her direction.
You think so?
And I tell her that.
Wait, where does Marty land on that?
Marty's the same way.
Okay.
Yeah,
see, if you as a couple can come together.
Can you imagine living in a home where the people at home are like, listen, if you die, what are we going to do?
Marty wants new carpet, and we can't get new carpet until we get rid of the cat because she throws up on things. So we're not in any hurry, but
in essence, though, do you ever like see the cat?
There's a DNR on our cat.
Do you see your cat kind of moving slowly, and you're like, ooh, you doing all right? You doing okay?
She's like, I'm not limping. I'm fine.
Every time she doesn't make it up on the couch, you're like, hey.
Yeah.
Or every time she goes to jump off the bed, you're like, well.
Fortunately, she has stopped trying to jump on the sink counter in our bathroom because she stopped making it and like she would fall.
Oh, she is a little like chubby.
Yeah. She still makes it up on the bed, even though we put another 3-inch like mattress pad on that thing. She gets a running start and she makes it halfway and then the back claws push her the rest of the way.
I will say this, that I am already, and by I mean like Haley and I are already in the planning stage of a future where we're going to provide steps
for
Ellie
for
her to climb up onto, because even nowadays she'll kind of, you'll hear her jump onto it and you'll hear this little like like her hips aren't doing too well. So
the funny thing is Sasha barely makes it onto this bed. This bed is like 18 feet high. It's like the monster truck of beds. It's so high.
You have to jump up there?
No, Marty uses a stool. I run and I throw a leg up over like I'm doing the Fosbury flop in high jump. But because like the mattress itself was super thick. The box spring is thick. And then we added this 3-inch mattress pad on it. And it's ludicrous how high this thing is. And Sasha,
like enough that you don't want to roll off in the middle of the night.
Death sentence. Like Sasha looked at it. She's like, are you guys kidding me? Like, you know, I'm getting older, right? Like the chance
to
me,
get her stairs.
I know. And when she can't make it, I will do stairs or I'll pick her up.
She already can't.
She makes it the most of the time. Sometimes she'll get halfway and then have to turn around. But anyway, there's one more story I had. Betty Rock had brought this up to me earlier. There's a new rideshare app that is really weird, and it's going to compete with Uber and Lyft. It's called Black Wolf, which is pretty cool. But it differs from the others in that your driver is going to be armed.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting concept. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm so torn on this because if the driver is armed, that, and you know that getting in that car, your odds are you're not going to act the fool like some of these idiots that abuse Lyft drivers and Uber drivers.
Get in and like don't pay or
assault them. You know, like if you know the guy's armed, you're probably not going to pick that fight. What was the logic behind arming the people, Rock?
Because I guess a lot of people are scared about like there's been a lot more stories on people getting in fights with road rage.
Right. Even while they're in a driver, in a Lyft or an Uber.
Right. Yeah. And then also, too, just ridiculous, reckless shootings of innocent people. And so you getting into the car with someone you know who is armed. And also, these people have had their background checked. They also typically come from a military background and they've been coached on how to de-escalate a situation.
That's fascinating. Instead of escalating it, coached on taking
it
down.
You don't need to be involved.
I want to drive for Black Wolf.
Is there your retirement plan?
No desire to be an Uber driver.
I've got a finger gun.
No desire to be a Lyft driver. driver, but Black Wolf sounds right up my alley. No,
I think they said this is in Atlanta, Georgia.
That makes sense. Atlanta's a little violent.
Yeah.
I hope they have like cool outfits. Like, I feel like you'd be getting in the car with like a SWAT driver.
Yeah. And if it's all like black SUVs, that's pretty baller,
man.
That'd be kinda
cool.
Like, that would be awesome. Like, you'd feel like you had your own protective service.
Might
like,
cost a lot more, but
yeah. I'm curious what it would cost.
Yeah. I would assume there's a part of me that, like, this sounds a little bit more, not like high end per se, but this sounds like something that you wouldn't pay $20 just to get across town. It sounds like it'd be a little pricey.
There's going to be some surge pricing on this one, too. If you want somebody that's got the gun and the bullets, it's surge pricing.
Yeah, it's got the gun, not the
bullet. That's fascinating that you know, it's fascinating and sad that that's where we've gotten to. And then the conversations we're having all over the place now about should pilots carry guns? Should teachers have guns? Like, it because the criminal element has gotten so far out of control and the brashness and the audacity of the crimes they are committing with guns is forcing other people to go, well, it's not just protecting my home anymore. You know, because for a while it was like, okay, I'm going to protect my home. I'm going to have a gun and that's my right. And it's not a big deal, you know. But now you've got more and more people carrying their guns wherever they go because of lunatics that are pulling nonsense with people, you know? I think we were talking about this the other day, that shooting where that kid in New Mexico was walking around shooting people at random. And I would have the hardest time, like, jumping into action and believing what my eyes were seeing.
Yeah.
Like, to me, if I see some kid walking around with a gun, my first assumption is it's probably an airsoft gun and he's playing games or whatever, because I'm still naive enough to think that there's goodness in the world with people. But then, like, if I saw this person shoot somebody, I mean, I would, like, want to take action. But then there's part of me that's like, well, wait, was he the good guy taking out a bad guy? Like, you don't know the whole story. And so how do you get in, how do you spring into action on something like that? I think that would be the hardest part of if you're that person that's like, I'm going to conceal carry or just I'm going to open carry because I want to protect myself. Boy, you better make sure you're not wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Like that one guy that shot the guy that was robbing the place. They were at a restaurant, and this guy was robbing everybody. And this guy shot him once in the thing, went out, and shot him in the street again and, like, at point-blank range in the head. And you're like, all right, that was excessive. You know, you probably had him. You had the situation de-escalated. Yeah. He's not a threat anymore, and you went out and you finished it off.
It is, like, an interesting ask of people to be in, like, the a height of what I would assume would be like adrenaline.
Absolutely.
In pulling a gun to protect people. You pull your weapon to protect people. That's, you've got adrenaline rushing through your veins.
And
and you have to have the wherewithal to say, I have, like, solved the scenario. Things are safe. I don't have to keep going. Now, you know, if you drag someone out in point blank range, like, that does sound a little sociopathic in certain ways. But to even calm yourself down, to say, okay, I'm done, or this is done.
That's why, I mean, officers, they go through training like that, and they go through de-escalation training and stuff like that, because, to go from that, the fight or flight, and now you're in the fight, and to go from that level of, this is a life-ending situation, and then to quickly back yourself back down, I don't know how you do that.
Well, and they also have the procedure of, like, if a officer shoots their firearm, they are also, like, put under arrest,
where
they can't just be like, you know, shoot their gun.
Yeah, they take him in,
go
they start
home,
talking
they
about
take
it,
him
right?
in. And I think that probably protects the officer from himself or from just any other outside person from whatever scenario they just solved.
I watched a video on TikTok the other day. It's like Fridays with Fred or something like that. He's an officer and he videotapes all the people that he stops. And there was this one kid doing like 65 and a 35. I watched this video. I was so mad at this kid. This officer was so calm and this kid was so entitled. And he's like, Mom, I'm being harassed. He's calling his mom and he's like, he's harassing me. Don't touch my car. And then he gets rude with the cop and is saying all this, talking smack to him.
Language.
He's like, I hope your daughter dies. Like, it's like, and so you think it's like a 17-year-old kid or something. And so the cop allows him to call his mom, and his mom comes, and he's telling him. Then he finds out he's 19. And, he's an adult. These are adult problems now, ma'am. And the cop, it was still kind through the whole thing. Kid had a suspended license for DUI. I thought he was going to get arrested, and that wasn't even an arrest. The cop kept going, look, he's just getting a series of tickets. This is unacceptable behavior. Yeah. And he sat down, and he goes, this is the problem with our society. Entitled, rude, problematic kids that have been babied their whole lives. Like, and I'm like, I agree everything with you. At some point in time, I was watching, I showed it to my wife. I was like, this is why I couldn't be a cop. I would tase that kid at the very minimum. At the very minimum, I would have tased him.
How do you not control yourself? Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I couldn't control myself. That is so rude. I'm like, oh, man. Like, I don't know how this cop kept himself together. It was impressive on his part because I couldn't.
He was filming himself, it seemed, or at least
his partner. Accountable.
I think if you were like producing something that you're like, all right, this is me showing the world how ridiculous these people are, it would probably make you go, oh, well, being filmed right now, if I do something ridiculous, then I'm going to be the criminal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you know, you're cognizant of it. And then
why they put the cameras on the
officers. The kid was funny too because he's like, you can't film me. He's like, public space, yes, I can. There's no assumption of privacy in the public. And I love how everyone tries to argue with cops because they're like, no, that's not the law. Like, and the cops, like, that's what they do for a living. And people think they're all like lawyers
all of a sudden know the best.
And then you've got I always love when someone's like, well, I'm going to call my lawyer. Please do. Call your lawyer. You don't even have a lawyer. Like, I love that
thread. I wouldn't even know where to start.
No, it's so funny to me. If you don't have the body cam on, that kid gets tased. by accident. By accident.
And that's why Wally's not a police officer.
That's exactly why I'm not a police officer. That and I'm tiny.
But he does want to be security at the church.
I do. Like, maybe they'll just give me a taser. Just give me a taser.
Please don't do that.
I won't have a gun, but like, if the person, like, because I could see, like, you're there and the lady at the coffee thing makes your coffee wrong. You got no choice.
All right.
You got to tase that lady. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Maybe not.
Oh, wait, let me mark that down for a here's a pity. Okay, so I have a list that was put together of celebrities who claim they're self-made. And it's going to be a good joke for you because you're going to roll your eyes plenty of times thinking you're self-made. Please, come on. First one being Kylie Jenner. She's the youngest of the Jenner and Kardashian clan. She said, quote, there's really no other word to use other than self-made because that is the truth.
No, that's not true. You had a leg up huge with startup capital, connections.
She's never not been famous.
Like Trump. Okay, Donald Trump. Like, talking about, I'm a self-made, millionaire, billionaire. His dad funded his first few land deals because his dad was a multimillionaire real estate developer. It's very rare that anyone is truly, truly self-made. Somebody helped get you somewhere, know?
Yeah. Kim Kardashian, who is Kylie's sister, she said, Kylie is self-made. We are all self-made. What? Because we came from a family that has had success?
Yes.
Right. Yes. That's the definition of not self-made. Because we come from a wealthy family that helped bankroll our stuff. Yeah. Now, what they have done is they've turned the opportunity that they had into businesses and into money, and they have worked hard. Like, you don't get to that kind of money without
working. But
would you
call that self-made?
Absolutely not.
I would call that a hard worker.
We're not critiquing hard work. We're just critiquing the
self-made.
Yeah, you're trying to write a narrative that makes you seem like you didn't come from cash.
Yeah, you didn't come from the poor side of town like Oprah, and become Oprah is somebody that you go, I would define her as more self-made for sure.
Hailey Bieber puts herself on that list.
What?
She said kids that already have a famous background are just following in their family's footsteps.
But she was
my dad and all of his brothers had done this. This is my family's business.
Yeah. Okay, fine. But you are profiting or benefiting from your family's business. Now, you can be a hard worker, but you're not self-made when you're starting with stuff.
She never had nothing. would be the right. I feel like a lot of people who like you think of being as self-made, it's like at one point or another, like you had nothing.
Right. Like, you were doing food stamps, or you were on assistance, you were just poor. You know,
from minimum wage to
right.
Yeah.
Do you think Taylor Swift is self-made?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Her dad funded her.
Oh yeah. Okay.
She came to Nashville, and her dad basically funded her whole first thing, her album. He kicked down doors for her. Now she has truly maximized
it. She's made
and
use of it.
She became a great businesswoman.
She's in control of what
she is doing. Absolutely.
Wouldn't say she's self-made.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not taking anything away from her work to do what she does, and she's masterful at heading her cult. It's a cult.
It's a cult.
She is a fantastic cult leader, and but self-made, absolutely.
I think the difference is that people have a hard time saying, like, taking pride in just that they are a hard worker and not saying self-made as well.
Sure.
Like, there are a lot of celebrities on this list that I think that they see it as not good enough if you're just a hard worker. They want to be self-made too.
See, like for me, I could say that I've been successful, and I don't know if I would use the word self-made. I started off in a career that I had nothing. No one in my family had anything to do with this. No one had ever trained me in this. Like, I started off on a completely different path that I was completely unworthy of taking. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was I worked hard and I worked a million hours and I threw myself into this and I did make my career. But even inside of that, I had people that had to believe in me to give me the opportunities. Now, I maximized them. I made the most of them. But I did have people that believed in me and helped me.
But wouldn't you say that's happened for Oprah too? Like, she had to have
for
some people. So then would that make her not self-made?
But I didn't come from ultimate poverty. There's that line of like self-made of like how poor is poor to consider being self-made. I guess I could say self-made in the sense that no one invested in me. No one, as far as like my career, like my dad didn't go, hey, I know you want to get into radio. Let me pay for you to go to radio school. You know, like I paid for myself to go through college. So as far as self-made goes, I could kind of make that case. It's not the extreme case of Oprah living in squalor and getting to be successful. I'm medium self-made, you know? I'm not
Yeah,
on
I don't
Oprah
know.
Level.
Like, would you consider anyone who has had their college tuition or their rent covered or their car or their insurance covered by their parents?
Right.
Would you consider their self-made?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because parents help a little bit. I think it's what you... Yeah, I think it's kind of what you do in that field that did they do that for you? Because like we want to take care of our kids as best we can. Mm-hmm. But like when you actually start that thing you're going to do, like say Betty Rock, you start making catfish lures and like you'd never done that before. Mm-hmm. Your family didn't train you how to do that.
Phil Robertson from the Duck Dynasty.
Like the Duck Dynasty. You just wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Your parents didn't invest in your company. Well, here's, you know, $1,000 startup capital. And you turn it into this business. Mm-hmm. I would say you were self-made catfish lure maker.
So it's categorical almost.
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Even if you had somebody who was like, you know, very successful in one venture, they said they put that down and then they went over and started something else and it also became successful. They were a self-made
whatever. Yeah. As long as because you can have people that are investing in you like with their time and mentorship, but they're not investing in you financially.
Sure.
I think that kind of factors into the self-made because we all pick and choose what we learn from people around us.
Other people that made the list were Lily Rose Depp, who is Johnny Depp's daughter.
What did she do?
If you're not right for something, they're not just going to hire you because your name looks good on the post.
What does she do? Is she an actress?
I bet that's not true.
Yeah, let me look and see. What has Lily Rose done?
Yeah, I mean, names don't hurt. Hollywood is all about, and businesses too. It's not what you know, but who you know.
Doesn't hurt to be a Kardashian.
She's been in some movies.
Okay.
Nothing too crazy, it looks like. But all that to say, she's just saying, I made my own way.
Sure.
Like, just because they see my name doesn't mean anything.
And
then Paris Hilton, she said she's self-made. She said, I think of myself and anyone who does business as being self-made. Everything I've done on my own.
Really, it's just the people who went out and asked this question that were like, I mean, if you're going to ask this question to those people, like, are they really going to sit there and be like, nope? See,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
not gonna, my parents helped me.
Yeah, like you're not going to sit there and be like, no, I'm I'm successful because of my parents' money.
Yeah.
No one's going to say that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got some birthdays for us?
I do. And ooh. I don't have to do the.
I know. How nice is that?
Hadassah and Abigail want to wish their sister, Charlotte, a happy birthday. She's turning 11 today. And for her birthday, we are camping with our aunt and uncle.
Nice.
Charlotte loves to read, play games, and play with our dog, Boaz, and our chickens.
Oh, a dog named Boaz. That's cool. Great. That's a good Bible name.
Yeah. Hadassah, Boaz. Yeah. I like all of it.
Yeah. Joel wants to wish his little brother, Bruno, a happy birthday.
We don't talk
He
about
loves
that.
To sing. And his favorite song is, of course, We Don't Bruno. Talk About Bruno.
There you go.
From the movie Encanto. We've made a habit of singing it for him on his birthday instead of the usual birthday song. That's cute.
I like that the whole song is about how we don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah.
Caleb wants to wish his amazing mom a happy birthday. Said she puts up with me and my brother's shenanigans and is still a joy to be around. She loves wildflowers, strawberries, and listening to some Rhett Walker on the radio.
What?
And then Jeremy wants to wish his wife Heather a happy birthday. Heather makes me smile every time I see her. She is kind and generous, a wonderful mother, wife, and human being. Happy
nice.
Birthday, Heather. We want to go back to the question from Caleb, and it's about Rhett Walker. Would you classify artists like Zach Williams and Rhett Walker as country? This is an ongoing debate in our household.
Yeah, like if they weren't a Christian artist, I would put Zach Williams in as Southern rock, I think more than country. And Rhett Walker, I would put.
When mercy found me.
Yeah. And Rhett Walker, I would put in Trailer Park. Category.
Waffle House trailer.
Yeah, that would be
there's
my category.
Different. Okay, so you're saying there's different country genres here.
Yeah.
One is redneck, the other is Southern
rock. Yeah, rock. Like Lynyrd Skynyrd and stuff like that is Southern rock.
Yeah.
And then country is like straight up country.
That.
I think they're both kind of in that Southern rock vein.
So what about like Ann Wilson?
Wilson would be country to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
like
she's
Carrie
down the middle
Underwood
country.
Type stuff.
Kane was flirting with the country stuff for
just
a while.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
well,
we would say yes.
Hopefully that solves your debate. And that's going to do it for our podcast today, our aftercast today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.